on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
On a morning show from WRCO and WRCE, it is time to talk a little bit more about what's going on in the community this week. And right here in the studio with us is Mayor Todd Coppernall. How you doing, Mayor?
Great, Phil. Thanks for having me on. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, we're doing real well. It seems like it's been a little while since we've talked to you.
It actually has. We did the last one right on the 1st of July. It happened to be a Tuesday, if I remember, the 2nd. And the last time I saw you, we pre-recorded that show. We recorded on a Friday.
Oh, that's right.
For a Monday airing. And I took my wife on our one and only night away in quite a while. We went down to Chicago and to the Rolling Stones concert. And I know I sent you some pictures and made you a little jealous. It was a great time and a lot of fun. Kim and I aren't going to be able to fit a vacation in, so we did a night in Chicago and had a great time.
Did you get up on stage and sing or not?
No, but we got close enough. This was wild, and this is kind of funny, too. Mick Jagger turned 81 years old on the 26th of July, and 81-year-old Mick has an 8-year-old son. And Ronnie Wood, the 78-year-old guitarist, has 8-year-old twin daughters. And we were close enough, standing up there, somebody tapped me on the shoulder and said, look over here. And between the barricade and the stage was Mick Jagger's son, standing there dancing. And man, does he look like his dad, and man, does he dance like his dad.
Does he really? Wow.
It was really, and then his mother was there with him, the child's mom, and then Ronnie's twin girls came out, and security is watching that whole crowd. Do not take pictures of the kids. Which I get, but that was kind of an unexpected treat to be able to see something like that, you know, in addition to a great show. And I know for your fans who listen to country music on WRCO, Lainey Wilson was the opening act, and she was outstanding, and came out and did a duet with Mick, song Wild Horses Dead Flowers. They sang an old Stones tune for the old Stones fans that are hearing this, and a great show. And she mentioned that that was their largest crowd they'd played to, and it just shows, you know, you never know. These guys that are 80 now can still get 65,000 people into a football stadium on a Sunday night. It was at Soldier Field where the Bears play, so that was a good time.
Yeah, you couldn't convince him to come back to Richland Center and play at Crosscut Park.
Let's do a stone show at the fairgrounds. Let's do that.
Get working on that.
I'll do that.
Well, let's talk about some business that, you know, we've talked about in the past. But, you know, since the last time you were here, I know the county took over the campus buildings. Any update on that you've heard?
So I talked to Dave Turk, who, of course, is the county board chair, about a week ago now. And as the public should be aware by now, the county had commissioned a group to come in and go through all of the campus buildings and the courthouse building and the Health and Human Services building, which some may remember as the old Piggly Wiggly IGA building, and basically check them out top to bottom. What do these buildings need? Should this one be fixed? Should that one be replaced? And so forth. And when Dave talked to me last week, they didn't have the report back yet that they had expected, I think, a couple weeks ago by now. So in other words, any day, I think, is the expectation. I get asked all the time, what's going to happen with the campus? Well, it's county property within the city limits. Okay, so the county will have to decide what they want to do, and then if they want to make any changes, like zoning changes and so forth like that, that will have to come through the city for approval. So they're doing what they need to do. They're doing what I would do. You know, what do we really have our hands on, and then go from there with ideas. I don't even have a clue as to if they've got something they're considering yet, or if they're simply just waiting for these results.
Recently, wayfaring signs were officially put up. We've talked about those in the past, but they look very sharp, don't they?
Yep, great addition. That was a long time coming, but yeah, I saw them going up the other day, and that committee worked on that for years and got it done. It's a lot of work with the Department of Transportation because, of course, a lot of these are on a highway, and then they have a lot to say about it, you know, what kind of paint you can use, what colors, all of these things. So great job by everyone involved on that committee. It took a long time, but they're there. This is a great idea. media, and I think it'll help people a lot. I think it makes the city look better, and it also helps people, you know, do what they're there for, which is find where you're going in town if you're not from here.
That brings up an interesting point. A business putting a sign on a U.S. highway is a little different, isn't it? Aren't they under scrutiny by the DOT and things like that?
Very much so, and a lot of people don't realize that. And one thing, and I'm going to segue into another piece of conversation in a minute here, Mr. Bill McCorkle. When I was first elected mayor, he was serving as the city's zoning administrator on a part-time basis. He had been the director of public works in the past, and he was knowledgeable on all of these kinds of things. And one thing he taught me, if a business is on a highway, and I understand we have two, so Highway 14 and Highway 80, Main Street and Orange Street are state highways. Okay, so a lot of people kind of forget that sometimes, but they are. So if a business is on a highway and has an existing sign, the first thing Bill taught me is tell them not to take that sign down. Because as soon as you take a sign down, the DOT could tell you you can't put a sign up. So you see instances where business buildings that are there that were there a long time. A great example is the new Chet's is in the old Schneider Plumbing and Heating building, and you'll notice the signs are where the old signs were. That's because Jeff Falk came to see me at Vitesnik Power Sports at my day job, just talking about the machines we sell there, and he told me that they had purchased that, and he didn't like the sign. I said, don't take it down. Put one up like it in the same spot. And it's just an example. There's rules, how far from the road they have to be, how large they can be, things like that. Because it's a highway, you do have to work with the DOT and you can't get around that.
Mm-hmm. Maybe upkeep, though, and painting of it is all right, though, right?
Yeah, it is once everything's approved, but you have to stay within the rules, right? If you can't, if you have a blue sign and you come out and paint it red. I mean, it's more technical than people think. And that had to do with why getting our wayfinding signs up had some delays along the way. There was a point in the past, I don't even know if any of the current committee members were on the committee then. I think a couple of them may have been. And it got into, you can't use that paint. It has to be the right kind, reflective, and all of these things, or can be, can't be. So, yeah, a lot of rules. I guess my one and only response, if somebody wants to put a sign up, is to call zoning. Just call zoning. It's not worth the hassle if you don't. Because if you don't and you put something up, what would you do if you bought an expensive sign, put it up, and suddenly you had to take it down? It's not worth it. Call zoning.
You mentioned Bill McCorkle. I know you wanted to say a few words in memoriam today.
I do. Bill, of course, lived here pretty much his whole life, most of it anyway. Long life. I believe Bill was 86 when he passed recently. And just a cornerstone citizen of Richland Center. That's what I'll call him. Ran the family businesses here with his brother when I was a kid. And then worked for the city as the director of public works for a long time, retired from that, was a firefighter here for 45 years, was an EMT here for 10, and then came out of retirement and in his 80s was helping the city with zoning and was helping MSA engineering on local street projects here in town. Great attitude. He came to see me often in the mayor's office, was extremely supportive of me, which I'll never forget and I'm grateful for. And he always had good knowledge, good wisdom to share because of his wealth of experience. And I just, when I heard he had passed, I really felt that. You do this a while and you meet so many people and you deal with this. And we've lost a lot of great people in Richland Center in recent years. And when I heard that one, it moved me, definitely. And I respected the family's wishes. I did go to the celebration of life at the Phoenix Center. The funeral was private, but I live on East Street, so I could see it. I stayed in my house. I waited till everybody had left. Actually, I waited till I got home from the celebration of life, and I walked up to his grave and paid my respects. And Bill was a friend and a mentor. And I know in a conversation I had just a few days ago with former older person John Collins, he said the same thing. He said when he first got on city council, Bill was a true mentor and taught him a lot of things he hadn't known and sort of showed him the ropes. So impactful life lived by Bill McCorkle, a true contributor to the city of Richland Center. And while we're here, Let's touch on another one that makes me very sad and leads us into just another example of a thing that should never happen, but obviously sometimes it does, and another shining example that you never know, so don't waste a day, and that's Mr. Adam Tackett, who passed away. I believe he was 45 years old and passed from pancreatic cancer, and his mother is Marge Freeman, who's also a close friend of mine here in town and is deeply involved with the local veterans groups and contributes all the time. To that family, heartfelt condolences. That's just a wild story. Marge just told me there was a funeral. Again, I live right by the cemetery. There was a funeral just a few weeks ago on a Sunday, and I saw it happening, and I saw they were going to do the military salute to the deceased, who was, it was his service, and I walked over to pay my respects. I stayed back till they were done and then walked up and introduced myself to the family and shook some hands and so on, and Marge whispered in my ear that her son had been diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer, metastasized to the liver. And, you know, this thing went from kind of a minor but persistent pain. Not, I think I saw a write-up that said, he said on a scale of 1 to 10, it was a 2. Side and back kind of pain. And then imaging showed a mass on his pancreas. And here we are. He's gone. I just wanted to tell Margie that I feel that too, as I did when Bill passed, and then a lot of us in the community do. And from my household, much love to the family and friends of Mr. Adam Tackett.
Well said. Yeah, that does prove that, you know, life can throw you something really quickly, how life changes, right?
You know what? My 57-year-old self has lived through a lot of things, but you never know. You know, that's just the truth of life. You never know what's around the corner, what comes tomorrow. And what I try to take from these things, I've had to come back from some tough things. Probably the hardest thing I ever did was bury a 9-year-old stepson in 2003. Incredible. Just life-changing. You can't just walk away from a thing like that, and it's with you for the rest of your life. That's reality. So what you have to do is you learn in the term that's, I guess, become accepted is the new normal. Life won't ever be what it was before a traumatic event of that magnitude. It won't. But here's the great news, guys. In some respects, I'm a better person. It's not all bad. It's horrid at the time, and there are things about it that you would change if you could, of course. But the things that make you grow and sort of evolve, because you don't have a choice, if you allow that and if you put the time in and the work in, you can become, new things come to you that you didn't know were there in the world because you're exposed to them now and you have to learn and grow. And I'm capable of a lot of things now that I couldn't have done before we lost my stepson, Andy Berge, in 2003 down in Wanakee. So you just learn to stay optimistic and to always have gratitude in your heart. You have to. You have to have gratitude. That's the one. That's the secret. That'll get you through the tough things, because you can always, if you look, even when you're down, if you take the time to look, you can find the positives too. I'm sitting here. This is a positive. Every month I look forward to doing the show with you, Phil, and I did with Ron when he was here. The community loves this. I hear about this every time we do it, Phil, every single time. So this show is a great example. No matter what I'm going through in my personal life or as mayor, what have you, one thing I know is out there to make me happy is a chance to come back here. It's just an example of how you do it, right? And that resiliency, that need to respond, that need to find a way has served me as mayor over and over again. I was mayor in a pandemic, guys. I didn't ask for that. I signed up to run in December. The pandemic broke over the winter, and I got elected in April, right when everything fell apart. So like it or not, ready, set, go. And that's exactly what I did. I planted both feet, went forward, and we did what we had to do and got through that crazy time. And that's just life being life, right? But here we are now. So let's talk about some fun stuff. Let's talk about something really cool. National Night Out tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Fourth national night out, and it's bigger than better, it sounds like. Bigger and better than ever.
Yeah, and it's a great time. I hope people come out, and people do. This is a well-attended event every year, and it's been held at the campus in the past. It will be at the park, at Kruska Park, near the community center now this time. And so one thing we try to do, and this year we are able to, we're moving the city council meeting. Tomorrow night's city council meeting will not be held at City Hall. It will be held in the community center because it's right there by the National Night Out. And we do that because we know a lot of the public will be there, give people a chance if they'd like to come over and attend. But we also do it so that those of us who obviously are obligated to participate in the city council meeting, myself and the older persons and the city administrator and so on, can have an opportunity to do National Night Out and get out and have some of the fun and meet the people. So looking forward to that. I know we always get great participation, local law enforcement and so on out there having a good time meeting the people. National Night Out tomorrow night.
Yeah, we've talked about it. In fact, they were on the morning show with us last week. We had city police, and we had sheriff, and we had fire represented. But they look at it as a very important time to meet the public, and especially for the kids. I think it's a great thing.
It is a great thing, and that's very well said. It's great for the kids. It's a fun night for the kids, but it is a chance for everybody, whatever age you might be, to meet, you know, police, fire, EMTs, the people who serve the community. And I think that's very important, especially in a small town. We have to be a close-knit community, all small towns do. We have to rely on each other because you can't just turn around and find another 5,000 people. We have 5,100 of us, and our county has, what, 18,000 of us in the whole county, which means we are essentially Baraboo plus West Baraboo in the whole county. We better be friends.
Very true. Another big event we have going on this week is GRACE, Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination. The Captain's Night, Survivor's Night is Wednesday, and then the actual walk on Friday. I know you'll be there on Friday night.
I will be, and GRACE is a phenomenal success story that everyone in this area should be very proud of. And I know you're aware of that, Phil. June's still heavily involved, and we've had a lot of families step up and contribute through the years. It's always such an emotional event. Of course, you're honoring those who lost the fight with cancer, and you're honoring those who have survived and their caregivers, families, friends. And we just have to be honest. Cancer has no friends. Cancer has no rules. It does what it does when it does it. And when it happens in your family, it's happened in mine. It's probably happened in every family by now, I would say, or close to that. And when it happened in mine, Grace did help. It was my sister in our case. And man, what a resource when you need it. So many people are involved in the fundraising and all of that, and so many others in the actual care and help that these families get. So you bet I'll be there. I'm proud to do that every year. A great event, and again, so well supported by the community. I know you see the Grace guitars when you're right around town. Hello, Mr. Walkden Dog. Thanks for your contribution.
Indeed.
And I will see you there, I'm sure, Phil.
Yes. Yeah, I'll be there as well. It's a unique night because the emotions, I know you stood up in front of the crowd before as well, but you're happy, you know, to see people, but there's also that element of sadness, as we've talked about, people that we've lost, and you know, their journey didn't go as well.
It's a true mix of emotions because you want to be happy and upbeat because you see all of the hard work and the amazing contributions, people giving money, people donating things to be, you know, to be done in the silent auction and so on, and you did the radio auction and so on like that, and you want to just be excited for that and feel that momentum and say thank you. And then you get up to the microphone and look out at the faces. Oh, that's right, cancer. And some of these people have lost someone, and some of these people are fighting it now. And so it isn't just yay for us. It is yay for us as a community. And look at the great job so many people do. That has to be acknowledged. It'd be a mistake not to acknowledge that. But it's also, we see you. We're here for you. You're not alone in the world, and we're right here. Take my hand, and I'll help you if I can. So it's really this blend. And when you make remarks at an event like that, you have to keep both things in mind. Thank you very much. Yay for us. And hey, we know what you're going through, and we're right here. Because Phil, it could be any of us. Mm-hmm.
Very true. Mm-hmm. And it's what makes Richland Center unique. You know, when you look at it, we take care of our own, don't we?
Yeah, we do. And Richland Center has a long history of that. I'm proud of it. I think a lot of people here are. And I think that sort of resiliency, self-reliance, comes from the fact that we are an hour from a big city. And we're not a huge population center, so I joked a little before, we better all be friends. Well, yeah, we have to take care of each other and do what we can for our people, because we don't have the natural built-in advantages of some of the, you know, La Crosse County, Dane County, with the huge infrastructure and all of those other resources at their fingertips. We live an hour from those places, so we have to find a way. And a lot of us either are or descended from farm families who had no choice. You know, my dad's dad, my grandpa Ernie Coppernall, was raised on a farm out by Bosstown in an era before they had an outhouse. And when he was a little kid, they didn't have electricity. It sounds funny. It's only two generations before me. So mom and dad and six kids, right? The most of what they ate, they produced, and so on, right? And yet, self-reliance. There wasn't, you know, my grandfather had to stop school after eighth grade because he lived on a farm and there were no buses yet. So if you didn't live in town, you didn't go to high school. And that's just the way the world was. We're talking two generations ago two generations before me, in this county. And I think those people learned to help themselves and help each other. And then they taught us. And your family, same thing, Phil. Same thing. And down the line, you know, if you can do it for yourself, do it. And if the neighbor's got a problem, walk over and ask if you can help. And you see that today. Grace is a great example, but there's plenty of other examples. And I'll give you another one, too. Just I'll give them a mention. I had a great meeting with a representative from Passages recently. Another great local organization that's been helping families here for decades now. And I think a group that does things a lot of our people aren't aware that they do. I would love it, Kat Arbogast, if you hear me. I would love it if you came down here to sit with Phil on that one. Tell him the things you told me in the mayor's office, Kat. I think the town would love to hear that.
We do have some Passages guests coming up, I think, later this week.
That was good, because I actually pushed that. Kat came down, and we had a long talk about a couple of things, and one of them was Passages. And I said, well, I do the morning show every month. You should do that. And I don't know. Maybe that's part of how this happened, but good. Glad to hear it.
Sounds good. Mayor Todd Coppernall, our guest on the morning show. We'll have more coming up after these words. Welcome back to our morning show on WRCO Radio, and we are talking with the mayor of the city of Richland Center, Todd Coppernall. Todd, some positives at the Richland School District. We've noticed construction going on out there as well.
Yeah, as your listeners will remember, there was a referendum in the spring, and you're seeing the results of that. I see them working on the roof at the high school, which obviously needed to be done. Glad to see it. Congratulations to everyone involved working to keep the school district running well. And I know that the Music Man production was just held at the high school, and you were telling me, you reminded me actually, that there's some upgrades coming there to the auditorium, to the Performing Arts Center in the high school, to upgrade the sound system there too, and to allow things, events like that, to continue. And I know that that musical was very well attended, and the reviews have been great. The people had a great time, and Phil said to me off the air, you know, it's something to realize how much talent lives in this area. When you go to a production like that, you go, wow, did you hear that? Did you see that? No doubt about it. And that's a great facility for things like that.
Another reason to be proud of where we live, because you look at the group that puts that on, and there are a number of young people. Not only, I'm not talking about elementary kids and middle school kids, but talking about people that are young professionals that come together. And it gives them a good reason to be in the area and stay in the Richland Center area, too.
Yeah, for sure. Participate, right? Get up and be part of things. And that's a fun way to do it. And I'm glad to know so many people had such a good time.
Well, also, we want to talk a little bit about businesses in the area doing well. The outdoor has been getting a good crowd here lately.
They have. I had a fun conversation Friday night with Mr. Tony Johnson, one of the owners of our local movie theaters, and there were 110 people at the Starlight 14 Friday night, which is excellent. Everybody out having a good time. You know, the weather was nice on a summer evening, and that business is unique, right? Most of them are gone, and ours is not. And, you know, they track demographics pretty well. well out there. They can tell where people are coming from. And I think our local people would be surprised to know. I mean, they're drawing La Crosse, Madison, sometimes Chicago into the Starlight 14 because it's unique. You know, Richland County, if you live here, you can get lost in this and forget it sometimes, but it's a beautiful place. If you just look around at our wooded hillsides and the hills and valleys out here, it's a really pretty place. And there are people from a lot of urban centers that love to come out here to get away from the noise, to see the stars at night that they can't see at home because of too much light pollution and so on. You get a quick education when one of them sees a deer, which we see every day, but you should watch them when they do because they never see them. And the enthusiasm for the wildlife and the quiet and the starlit skies at night. And a lot of them, when they come out, they go to the drive-in movie. And that's now our locals are there too, but it's fun to realize how many people come out here and fill our hotels and our B&Bs and so on and come out here and get away from the city. And Starlight 14, one of many businesses that capitalizes on that.
There have been some classic movies shown on Sunday nights this year. I think there's another one coming up on the 18th. But do they include the mayor in the choice of classic movies or not?
They have not. No, Mr. Johnson has not asked me my choice of movies. No, he has not. I know. I believe you suggested Smokey and the Bandit, right?
Yeah, that was one of the first ones they did.
They did. And I saw Grease played out there. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the order, so I don't know if Stripes has aired yet.
That's the next one.
The next one. And I think came from Marty Richards. Strike, great movie. I remember seeing that. You know what? That's the first R-rated movie I saw.
Wow.
Stripes. I got into that because my uncle, Denny Coppernall, who I promise you is listening in Spring Green, was the manager of the Guard Theater in Spring Green for years and years. And my dad was with me, and by state law, I could go with my dad. But Denny, actually, he never did this because he had to work, but he knew because he'd seen it. He knew the funniest scenes, and during Stripes, he would come and sit down next to me. And if you've seen Stripes, there's a mud wrestling scene with John Candy.
Yeah, <that's
laughs> just
right.
Leave it at that. And he made sure he was next to me to see my, I must have been, I was a 14 or 15. I'm a freshman in high school. He knew what was going to happen. And I never forgot that. Denny, thanks for a memory, and to my dad as well, for a fun memory. And I'm glad Marty recommended that movie. I love that. I will probably be at that one,
yeah.
Kim and I.
That should be a good one. Any other business news around Richland Center? Anything new in terms of new businesses coming in or anything?
Nothing that can be announced, but other than to say we've just now, like in the last couple of weeks, heard from two more that have interest in the city. So what's going on? There's a hotel chain with interest. There's a grocer with interest. Some of this I've talked about before. Where this always seems to go is where can they build and or where can they lease? And if they want to build, that's been particularly sticky in some cases. If you just look around, the beautiful hills that are our calling card also make it difficult to build sometimes because they're there. If you go over to Reedsburg, Sauk City, places like that, and people will say to me, look at all the building they're getting. I know they have flat open land to build on that was available. That's the whole key. The land has to be available, and then you have to remember, in Richland County, steep hills and floodplain because the Pine River exists. So there's a number of places people will call me and they say, why doesn't somebody build here? Well, here, when almost every time somebody says that, is floodplain. So you have to work around that. All right. So we are making progress on some of these things, but I do not have anything ready to announce right now other than to make sure the public does know that we're getting real interest from multiple businesses.
I guess it's probably a no-brainer to say that if there was a place where, okay, you have a building, you've got, air conditioning, you've got, freezer space, it'd be a little easier to lure a grocer in, wouldn't it?
It would be. It definitely would be. It takes one of two things. It takes a place with a workable lease, and that's not the city's business, okay? If there's a group that owns a place that's open, it's not the city's to get in there and negotiate their lease. It takes two willing parties that can reach an agreement. If you had the space and or like freezers, coolers, whatever, loading dock, things that grocery stores have to have, and you want to work out a lease, well, that's your business. Do it, please. if you have available land, well, that's another. Now you get into a different category, but yes, Yes, wonderful, because new construction does a lot for the community. I've talked a lot on the show about that, what state law says about the term net new construction and what that does for the general fund, for the city, the county. Without it, you don't get new money. You don't. And as inflation happens, you fall behind, and then you're going to get service cuts or tax increases. So construction is critically important.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
Chevrolet, over 100 years of being your Chevy truck headquarters. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
News Time today is sponsored by Court and Main Furniture and Mattress, helping you create the home you can't wait to come home to. Scattered light rain this morning, then sun developing later on, a high of 76. Mostly clear tonight and fog possible, a low of 53. Just over an inch of rain last night, another 14 one-hundredths early on this morning, and it's 58 degrees.
Is it time to buy a new mattress? Many factors can affect the quality of your sleep, and there are no foolproof indicators when you need a new mattress. Hi, this is Andrea from Court and Main Furniture and Mattress in downtown Richland Center. We've designed the perfect showroom for your sleep needs. Here at Court and Main, our sleep recipe is support, comfort, and durability at a fair price. So stop in and have a look and feel for yourself. Visit Court and Main Furniture and Mattress, located at 172 West Court Street in downtown Richland Center.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Phil Nee. Here is what you need to know. Yesterday evening, strong storms were in southwest Wisconsin, which prompted two tornado warnings and a severe thunderstorm warning starting at 11 o'clock. Mike Jessen, the Director of Emergency Services for Richland County, spoke late last night about the storms.
We initially were aware this morning that we had a high risk for some severe weather this afternoon. Just with the instability of the atmosphere, and like I kind of put on the Facebook page, our atmosphere is about as stable as a newborn giraffe. It was very unpredictable to kind of march out what the weather's going to look like this evening. So we were in communication with National Weather Service in La Crosse, as well as some other area emergency managers throughout the day, kind of watching the system build over the Dakotas, come through Minnesota, and eventually into Wisconsin. We were actively monitoring it in the Emergency Operations Center, effective about 6:30 p.m. today, and have been monitoring that ever since. Watching the systems build over Minnesota, it was producing quite a few tornadoes. We didn't anticipate the system to super well stay together over the Mississippi River, but it had enough energy in the air to do so. As it moved our way, we were monitoring that one cell kind of to the south there that was spinning up quite a few tornadoes. So that's what eventually caused that tornado warning in southwestern Richland County.
During the storms, there was a report of tornado activity.
As soon as we had a warning, we did actually have a funnel cloud reported just northeast of Boscobel on Highway 60. So far, all we've heard of is some tree branches down. So I've heard of no injuries to people, no damages to homes. That may change when the sunlight comes up in the morning. But if there is somebody that has received some damage or major damage, please give us a call. Let us know at the emergency management office. That would be very helpful to know that information.
That number at emergency management is 608-647-8187. Dueling campaign stops in Eau Claire on Wednesday. Democratic Vice President Kamala Harris, who last week secured enough delegate votes to become her party's presidential nominee, had already scheduled a visit to Eau Claire. On Monday, the Trump-Vance campaign announced that Donald Trump's running mate, Ohio U.S. Senator J.D. Vance, will deliver remarks to the press at Wollard International at 1 o'clock. Wollard is an Eau Claire-based manufacturer of airport ground support equipment. Harris's most recent Wisconsin visit was in Milwaukee on July 24th, just after she became her party's presumptive presidential nominee when President Joe Biden dropped out. Governor Tony Evers and the Department of Natural Resources say the program will provide municipalities with funding to conduct community outreach efforts in support of ongoing or upcoming lead service line replacement projects. According to a 2023 report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum, more than 37,000 such lines have been replaced or disconnected since 2018, more in the last 5 years than the previous two decades. The program's funding comes from the Biden
Biden administration's bipartisan infrastructure law, which will provide Wisconsin with more than $900 million to support state environmental loan programs. The lead service line replacement community outreach grant will begin accepting applications on August 29th. The Northern Lightning Exercise takes place now through Friday and again August 12th through the 16th at Volk Field Air National Base in Juneau County. Military aircraft such as F-35s and F-16s will be operating at supersonic speeds within the Volk military operating area, sometimes above 30,000 feet. When training missions are going on between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m., people may hear sonic booms and other noises associated with the high-speed training. The exercise is part of ongoing military readiness training and aims to improve operational capabilities. Another inmate death at Waupun Correctional Institution. Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt said his office was contacted about the inmate's death around 7:25 Monday morning. An initial investigation revealed a likely suicide. Schmidt said prison staff responded rapidly and appropriately, attempting to save the inmate's life. This is the fifth inmate death at Waupun since June of 2023. Nine people, including former warden Randall Hepp, were arrested earlier this year. They face felony charges stemming from some of those deaths. In Manitowoc County Court, Elijah Vu's mother will have to find a new attorney. Katrina Bauer's lawyer told the court on Monday that there is a conflict of interest working for Bauer and she has to step out of the case. It's not clear what the conflict is. A new attorney has taken Bauer's case, so a planned Wednesday bond hearing is still on the schedule. Bauer is charged with child neglect for her alleged treatment of Elijah in the weeks leading up to his disappearance. Neither Bauer nor her boyfriend, Jesse Vang, have been charged directly for the disappearance. Wisconsin has its first traces of West Nile virus for the summer. The disease was confirmed in a dead bird found in Chippewa County and a blood donor in Washington County. The human patient is not considered to have an actual case of the virus since symptoms never developed. The disease is not usually harmful to humans, but in rare cases can exhibit a fever, a headache, rashes, all the way to seizures and a coma in extremely rare cases. Since the virus is transmitted by mosquitoes, be sure to remove as many sources of water from your property as you can where standing water is there and reduce exposure to the bugs while you are outside. A suspect was arrested following a suspicious person call. The Iowa County Communications Center received a report of a suspect attempting to break into a residential home on Main Street in the village of Highland Sunday morning around 1:35. Iowa County Sheriff's deputies responded to the scene after an investigation. Hunter W. Wiest, 25 of Green Bay, was arrested and charged with disorderly conduct and criminal trespass to a dwelling. Hunter Wiest was booked at the Iowa County Jail, where he was later released. The Richland School District will be hosting Super Registration today from 1 until 7 at Richland Center High School. All Richland School District students and families are encouraged to attend. Sabrina Ryder is a teacher with the district. She will be on hand to assist in the registration process.
I will be one of the people that help you fill out your registration papers or get signed into Skyward. That seems to be a hitch in the giddy up every year. You have parents that forget their password. You haven't used it all summer. You don't remember how to log in. We just really easily reset your password and get you going on your way. Just have a little patience with us. Sometimes we have a line. We have translators that will help you fill out your paperwork if you need to. We have, probably like 30 computer stations set up, and there are about six of us, and we just kind of float around and help you fill out your paperwork, answer questions. It's a really great opportunity to also meet your school principals. They'll be there, and they'll have little tables set up. So if you have a new student to the district, they can put a name to a face. It's really nice.
Super registration will be held from 1 until 7 today at Richland Center High School. And Richland County's 4th Annual National Night Out will be held tonight from 5 until 8 at Kroska Park in Richland Center. This year, live entertainment and lots of activities, including the annual K-9 5K Run Walk, which raises funds for the Richland Center and Richland County K-9 programs. New this year will be an array of food trucks where you can purchase food.
You'll love an A&W Root Beer Float. Made fresh root beer with real cane sugar meets a perfect swirl of creamy vanilla soft serve in our signature frosty mug. Try one today and watch all your worries float away. Only at A&W.
Always made fresh root beer. Always at A&W. Your A&W is located on Highway 61 in Boscobel. Stop by soon and enjoy.
At participating restaurants, prices may vary. Tax extra.
The forecast for today calls for a high of 76. Some scattered light rain still on the forecast for this morning. Sun developing later today. Mostly clear tonight and fog possible with a low of 53. In Richland Center, yesterday prior to midnight, 1.03, just over an inch of rain in the heavy storm that passed through, and another 14 one-hundredths this morning. Right now it is 58 degrees.
Wilkinson Auctions Muscadet Area Equipment Consignment Auction is Thursday, August 8th at the Muscadet Auction Yard. Some of the highlights include a low hour 2021 Case SR175 skid loader, a John Deere 550C dozer, tons of trailers, including multiple reefer trailers, combines and heads, and grain carts and gravity boxes. New equipment is arriving daily, so check the website or come down to the auction yard to see new pieces. The Muscadet Area Equipment Auction, Thursday, August 8th at the Muscadet Yard. More info at WilkinsonAuctions.com.
Sports Time is sponsored by Simon's Recreation Complex, Richland Center's public indoor swimming pool and fitness center, and by the Homesteaders Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. Coming up, a look at the local and area scene, details on the Brewers getting back to it as well tonight.
All Cub Cadet mowers are on sale now at the Homesteader Store. Hi, this is Rick. The sale includes industry-leading Cub Cadet Ultima zero-turn mowers with both lap bar and steering wheel units. The sale includes the quality Enduro Series lawn and garden tractors. They are all on sale, so come and save $150 to $500. See the full line of Cub Cadet products at your mower headquarters, the Homesteader Store, Highway 14 East, or at homesteaderstore.com.
I'm Phil Nee with sports. Viroqua is in the Class A State Legion Tournament at Osseo. They lost last night 12-2 to Lamira and will play this afternoon at 2 against Stratford. It was Viroqua's first loss in the tournament. Football season is officially back. Many schools starting practices today across the state of Wisconsin. Those first scrimmages coming up the weekend of Friday, August 16th or Saturday, August 17th. The Church League softball tournament gets underway tonight at Richland Center's Kroska Park with games on the East and West Diamond. Three games each Diamond scheduled for tonight. The Brewers get back to action after a day off yesterday. They're at 62-49 coming into the game. Also, the Braves at 60-51 will be the hosts. The pitching probables, Colin Ray at 9-3 with a 3.59 ERA, will face Bryce Elder, who is 2-4 with a 5.67 ERA. The Major League Baseball scoreboard from last night, the Cardinals lost to the Mets 6-0. San Francisco 4-1 over Washington. Cincinnati 10, Miami 3. The Dodgers 5-3 over Philadelphia. In the American League, Boston 9, Kansas City 5. Texas 4-3 over Houston. Oakland 5, the White Sox 1. Interleague play, Arizona 7-6 over Cleveland. And Minnesota beat the Cubs, final score of 3-0. The Badgers have a lot to prove after struggling to a 7-6 record in Coach Luke Fickell's initial season. Wisconsin is rated outside the top 25 in a preseason coaches poll. That poll shows just how strong the schedule is for Fickell's team. Five opponents are ranked: number 3 Oregon, number 5 Alabama, number 9 Penn State, number 23 USC, and number 25 Iowa. The Badgers earned 17 points, and that would have placed them 34th had the poll gone that far. The Packers have released quarterback Jacob Eason less than 2 weeks after he was signed. Eason was brought on board while starting quarterback Jordan Love was still away from practice while his contract was being negotiated. Eason had been taking practice reps between Sean Clifford and Michael Pratt. He was a fourth-round selection by the Colts in the 2020 draft. He had played one game each for the Colts in 2021 and Panthers in 2022. Also in camp, there is a kicking battle going on. Greg Joseph is there and trying for a job against Anders Carlson, who was the Packers kicker last year. Joseph was asked if he mentors Anders.
Stay in my own lane. If he asks me questions, I'm not going to, you know, say no or ignore him. I'll definitely answer. And we, other group gets along really well. We all talk. We all have fun. We all help each other. And, you know, he asks, like, what are my goals? And my goal was to learn something for everyone and to help someone, you know, learn something. So I'm here to teach, you know, here to definitely be a resource and, you know, use them as resources as well and just get better each and every day.
And American gymnast Simone Biles didn't get the golden send-off she hoped. Biles earned silver in the floor exercise finals on Monday after a routine that included a couple of costly steps out of bounds. I'm Phil Nee with an update on Tuesday Morning Sports. What do you get with a membership to Simon's Recreation Complex? Warm indoor pool, relaxing hot tub, steamy sauna, racquetball, exercise classes, exercise equipment, strength equipment, and lots of help from new friends. Exercise when it works best for you. Simon's Recreation Complex.
Some businesses don't want to build, they want to lease. Others want to build and refuse to lease. And we are right now working through some possibilities, some opportunities. We do have some landowners in the area who in the past may have not wanted to sell some land that are kind of changing that tune a little bit. Again, it's not really the city's to negotiate a land sale between a private party and a business. That's, you know, there are things the city can do, but that's really not on the list, that part of it. So we're working with several groups on multiple opportunities and housing as well. There's interest. We've had inquiries from multiple builders. It takes patience that nobody has, including me. It's not fun to keep saying we're working on it and nobody likes hearing it, but it's true. Stay optimistic, guys. We are making progress on some big projects. When we can announce them, we will do that. I'll get down here in 2 minutes. Phil, the first time somebody says it's a go on a grocery store, I may show up at your house.
We interrupt this program.
Yeah.
At what point does the city get involved in? You talked about the negotiations between landowner and possible businesses. Where does the city come in then?
There's a lot of stuff behind the scenes that goes on from the first contact. So let's just pick one. Let's say a clothing store. It doesn't matter. A clothing store calls myself or they call Economic Development Director Jason Glassbrenner and they say, hey, we're looking at your town. Okay, so we know some of the things they're going to contend with, and they do too. They're going to need a site, whether that's to build on or to lease. They're going to need that. And then if it's a building, now we get into all kinds of things. If it's along the highway, Highway 14 East, for example, down by Walmart or anywhere down that way, that's our highest traffic count here. So corporate businesses oftentimes ask to be down there. Number one, you need a willing landowner to sell it or to lease to you. And then if it's a building, you're going to hear from the DNR because we do have wetlands in some of those areas, things like that. You will talk to the DOT because it's a state highway. Once you get past Bowman Drive, when you head east and you go basically from Walsh's out, the state has a lot they can say to you, and they will. About, do you need a turning lane? Can you have an access point? We talked about signage. Is your road okay, or is there one yet? Will you have to add a road? If you have to add a road, now you need a traffic impact study. That's not free. You do a traffic impact study, and then the DOT makes a choice on that. You need lights. You can't have lights. You need a roundabout. You can't afford a roundabout. You need a turning lane that isn't there. That's going to be about $400,000 before you do anything else. Okay, now you need a survey of the lot. You're going to need, if you get far enough, you're getting engineering work. Where does the water run off? Okay. Where are the city utilities in relation to your land? Is it in the city? Has it been annexed? Does it need to be annexed? Is it part of a bigger plot than they need? If it is, you need to do a land split. If you have 15 acres and you're only going to build on two, you need to make the two a separate parcel. Now you're going through the plan commission. Now you're going through city zoning. Can't be avoided. State law has to be approved. Annexation would have to be approved. Getting the utilities moved, incredibly expensive. It blows people's minds when they hear how much this costs. So now what do you get oftentimes? We want to build in your town, but we can't afford. So city, help us with the cost, for instance, of infrastructure, you know, a road, or to get the hookups for water, sewer, and electric, things like that. We get requests of that nature almost every time somebody calls. Okay, so then the city's stance typically is, sure, you know, we'll at least look at it. We need numbers. We need to know what we're really committing to and what we're getting for it, because we have to figure out how to pay for it if we agree to participate. So we need you, Mr. prospective business owner, to get with the landowner, get your agreement in place, get your land sale done and your purchase agreement in place, because until we know what you're doing, it can't be hypotheticals, it can't be we kind of wanna. We need to know what you're doing, when you're doing it, what it requires and what it costs, because you can't expect. So the city council has to vote to approve anything like that. Those eight older persons carry a lot of weight. They have to decide yes or no. They can't decide yes or no until they know all of those variables. Okay, so this is why these things take time sometimes and aggravate people. If you're on a highway, you will be talking to the DOT. You're probably going to talk to the DNR. You have to deal with economic development because you have to. He's got to know what's coming and he's got to give you the right advice. You're going to deal, you need engineers, you need architects. If you're going to build a new building, you need state approved plans. All of this takes time. You're going to need the building inspector involved when you build it to make sure it's been done right and all the correct permits were pulled and all the rules were followed so you don't build something that's a problem later. All of this goes into it. It's worth it though. You just have to stay on it. You have to stay on it and check all the boxes. So what I would tell anybody that is interested in building homes, building a commercial building, you need to get down to City Hall. You need to talk to Jason Glassbrenner in Economic Development, and you're going to talk to Mark in Zoning. You need to know right now. Day one, you need to know what it takes to do what you want to do. Don't start without it. Because the next thing you know, you got a building inspector giving you a stop work order because you did something out of step because you didn't know. You can do it. You can do it. We've seen it. The building that has Duncan, AT&T, and TriStar, that was a new build. That happened. The expansion of the Richland Locker, that happened. We got the dialysis center. We got the TechCom building. We've had some new homes built in town. You can do it, but you have to play by the rules, and there's more of them sometimes than people think.
You could also get fined, which would cost you a little bit more money if you didn't do something right, too. So.
You could, and just the hassle factor, too. I mean,
right.
It's just, but, okay, so I want people to stay on the positive side of this message, okay? Yeah, it's frustrating sometimes. Man, I thought that would be done now. Wow, we were hoping. Yeah, me too, all of us too. But there's a process for a reason, and there's laws you have to follow, and it takes two to tango, right? So you've got to have a builder that knows their stuff, that's really willing to commit. You either have to have a landowner ready to sell or a building owner ready to lease or sell. And then if somebody does ask the city to participate, it has to be a reasonable request that the city can handle. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of moving parts. Nobody in this city wants to see these things happen more than myself, the city council, the city employees, and the committee, commission, and board members. We're doing this stuff to help the city grow. We root for this every day. We work very hard to get these things done every single day, and the delays make us crazy too, but we know that we're doing things the right way and we're following the rules, because any other way is just a disaster trying to be done. Stay with it, guys, and if you have an idea, don't be shy. Again, if you have an idea for a business or to build some homes in Richland Center, get a hold of me, get a hold of Jason Glassbrenner, get a hold of city zoning, and let's see what we can come up with.
Any update on Panorama Estates, Todd?
Hopefully very soon there will be. I actually talked to Mr. Glassbrenner about this at length last week. I was hoping to have more to say today than I have, but that's not a bad thing. It's not anything to worry about. We're working through paperwork details of the final agreement. Just one thing that I'll mention publicly that we're working through, for more than one reason. It's not really because of Panorama, but given the location of Panorama, it's sort of tied in, and that's the growing traffic out in the area where Hive Drive empties into the highway. Out there, you know, it gets backed up when schools opening and closing every starting and ending every day, and, you know, what would happen if, because if and when the campus property is redeveloped, depending on what goes there, that could increase traffic. You put two more apartment buildings up there, that increases traffic, and so on and so forth. So we had to take a look at that intersection. I think we've got the information we need now, but it's another example. It's a very smart thing to do, but it took time. And I think we're through that process now.
Mayor Todd Copperdahl, our guest on the morning show, will be back with a final word coming up in a moment. The final portion of the morning show, WRCO. Always great to have Mayor Copperdahl in the studio with us. Mayor Todd, anything new as far as City Hall is concerned?
Yeah, a couple of new hires. Amanda Miller is the new administrative assistant in the City Clerk Treasurer's office. She loves the job, is doing great work. We're thrilled to have her. She's thrilled to be there. Welcome aboard. And also, I'll leave the name out because it's going to be announced at tomorrow night's City Council meeting, which again will be held in the community center. And that is that we have a new director of public works in the City of Richland Center. So we'll say more about that tomorrow night.
Yeah, I know. Every time you come down here, it's kind of like right before the big announcement. So we can't get the scoop on the morning show.
You know, one thing I was thinking about that, Phil. I come on with you the day before the city council meeting. I thought, I was just thinking about that over the weekend. Are we timing that wrong? Because it's always like, stay tuned. Tune in next month when you'll hear the mayor's, you know.
Right.
But we do, that announcement will be made tomorrow night at the council meeting, again, in one of the conference rooms in the community center building.
Are there other new hires possibly coming up then?
We are still interviewing and seeking applicants for both the city clerk and the city treasurer position. And there's two ways we could go about this. We can hire a city clerk and hire a city treasurer, or we can hire a clerk treasurer and a deputy clerk treasurer, which is what we had in the past. Either way, and in any event, that process is still ongoing.
That was my next question, too. Is the possibility of, like, maybe changing some roles and changing some names of positions?
Sure there is. Adapt and move on. And we are living through a time of very low unemployment. And we're at a time where people say the national unemployment just ticked up to 4.3%. And Phil and I are both old enough to have lived through some recessions where those numbers would have caused a parade. and those are the worst we've had in years. And we also have the unique nature of the fact that the baby boomer generation is retiring out, and that so many valued workers that did things so well for so long and looking for that young talent. We're, believe me, the city is not the only place going through this. Almost any business owner will tell you finding skilled labor is very challenging right now. People with management experience, you know, the leadership qualities that you need and so on. You can't walk out of a classroom with some of that. It takes practical experience, and there's everybody's looking for that. And ask any hiring manager or business owner in the area. It's been a real struggle for quite a while, and I think that the demographic trend shows that that's going to go for a while. There's just less and less babies. It just seems like all the time that trend has, if anything, accelerated in recent years. And you see all of these school districts grappling with it as their classes get smaller and smaller. Well, imagine what that does to a business. And in this sense, the city is a business, right? We're competing for labor, for talent, for employees, the same way any other local business is. But we do it with rules that a private business doesn't have to deal with, state oversight and tax levy limits and all of that stuff to contend with. So sometimes you have to get creative. And if you look at the city council agenda for tomorrow night, one of the agenda items addresses the possibility of hiring and retention bonuses at the city, which I don't think have ever been done, but we're discussing that as a possibility right now to maintain or gain competitiveness in the labor market.
Yeah, that's a challenge for any employer, but the city as well, to look at other places and what they pay their employees and things like that and benefits. You gotta keep up with the times, don't you?
You do, and that will never stop. There's always going to be competition. And as I just said, a city, a county, any government, a school district has to deal with all the government rules. That's for a good reason. You know, we're using public money, mostly property tax dollars, to pay these bills, pay these people, and pay to run the place. So you have to be mindful, and you should be as efficient as you can be on behalf of the taxpayers. And that means sometimes you have to adapt with the times and change what used to be done to what needs to be done. And some of that is being implemented at the city right now.
In terms of the city council, you know, sometimes you don't hear a lot about them. And I know it was a busy meeting last time. Is it going to be busy tomorrow night? What's on the agenda then?
Right. I just mentioned tomorrow night we will be going over some of these things, working on getting some new employees and how they'll, maybe some of that structure might change, putting some bonuses in place. There will be a closed session item on the agenda, which means I can't tell you what it is, but maybe we'll have an announcement after that meeting. If not, we believe we will in the near future.
Mayor Todd Coppernol, mayor of the city of Richland Center, our morning show guest. We'll have more coming up tomorrow from the community.